And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody's off to a great start on this Friday morning. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I again turn it right back to you. How are you?
Today's gonna be a struggle, but we'll get through it.
You got the caffeine handy nearby?
Actually, no. I've got a bottle of water right now.
Oh, that won't do.
I get some coffee here in a minute.
We don't need hydration. Yeah. You just need straight up artificial, you know, enhancement, man.
Yeah. I know. First off, it's kind of rare that I do have the bottle of water this early in the morning, but I've got it right now. Here we are.
All right.
I'll find some coffee here in a minute.
Okay, yeah. Good.
We'll see how it goes. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Doing just fine, thanks. Got the golf on the channel. I reminded Joe it was on USA. Just a heads up.
Yes.
He forgot to turn it on.
I'll get that on. I'll get that on here real soon.
Yep. We got LeBron watch apparently going on too. And your boy Giannis making his way down to Miami. So,
oh, yeah.
Yep. And then so we got the golf on here. Yesterday was nice. Went to the pool for a little bit, a couple hours at the pool. But, yeah, doing good. Thanks. Happy Friday. We made it.
We did.
Will either one of you be watching the third place game between France and England?
Is that today?
I believe that is tomorrow. Yeah.
I don't know that I'll go out of my way to watch it, but I might check it out a little bit. It's an oddity, you know. How many people used to watch the third place game at the Final Four?
I mean, until you said that yesterday, I didn't even know there was a third place game at the Final Four. So you taught me something yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. As I asked that question, it probably wasn't televised, right? I mean,
probably not.
Which
when did it stop? 1980?
The tournament, yeah, third place game? It was on TV somewhere.
The final third place game was 1981, the Spectrum in Philly. Virginia beat LSU in that sweet, sweet third place game. That 81 was the year that my Isaiah Thomas led Bobby Knight and the Indiana Hoosiers to the championship over North Carolina. On the same day, President Reagan was shot, by the way. But, yes, there was a third place game. So I think that's like the Sunday. They used to do it like – yeah, obviously you have your Final Four, you know, your games on Saturday, and then your championship game's Monday. But on Sunday, come on back for a little third place game, everybody. Come on, let's get excited. I mean, at least that was in the same place, right? So it's like, Okay, well, I guess your ticket's good for that. Who knows? Like, your ticket stub will get you in for the third place game. This, they're putting a big, huge production on in Miami on July 18th for a third place game. Woo! I don't know, man. But I guess... I mean, France, England, I guess if you're FIFA, you know, you're like, well, as third place games go, right? Like, big followings.
Oh, they don't like each other either.
I guess there will be some intensity, hopefully. I don't know. Someone said yesterday on the text line that the winner gets 30 mil. Is that right?
Yeah.
The winner
gets... probably so.
I mean, I guess that's not a bad third place game, 30 mil. You know, it's kind of like... Yeah, you guys are golf fans. I'm not, but for people who don't follow it, like, you know, finishing like ninth in a tournament as opposed to like 30th, there's a big financial difference, you know, money is at stake at every spot. So I guess there is that.
There is that. To answer the question, I will not be watching any of the third place game, but that's okay. I am planning on watching at least most of the championship game. That I will commit myself to right now. Most of it I will watch.
Okay.
I'll probably turn it on like the 20th minute.
That's fair. That's totally fair. I just Googled this, by the way. So the third place winner gets $29 million in prize money, okay?
So are we talking as a team like everybody individually?
No, yeah. I mean, as a team.
It's good grief.
Yeah, that'd be okay. But the fourth place team gets $27 million. So there's a $2 million difference in this.
So it means basically nothing.
It means basically nothing. But I guess it's like, if you guys want your combined 56 mil, you're going to show your butts up in your kits and you know, play a little football.
4 o'clock. Okay. 4 o'clock on Saturday for France, England.
All right.
Interesting.
This will be nice and hot down there at that time. It'd be good.
Of all things, man. You know?
I don't know. We're actually going out of town next week, so our flight is at 4:15 on Saturday.
Okay.
So maybe it'll be something I can watch on the plane.
I was gonna say if you're on Southwest, you get that live TV.
Maybe we'll be good to go.
On the app. Yeah. There you go. All right. So we know at least one of us will watch.
Assuming, you know, I don't have screaming kids.
Right.
Needing our attention the entire flight.
There is.
So I get a nice two and a half hour flight to New York. Maybe sneak a little in.
Perfect.
Might be perfect.
Yeah, might.
Fall asleep. It'd be great.
Nice.
JC on the YouTube chat says, I don't remember the third place game being on TV. That preceded the big TV boom for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's hard for me because, again, 81, like, that's like, I was still kind of. I mean, like, again, the first year I was allowed to stay up for the championship game was 83, which was NC State-Houston. And so they had already gotten rid of the third. So I just don't remember. Yeah, that's a good I'm going to – I don't know. I mean, maybe. Maybe it was on TV. I don't know. That was back in the same era that, like, the NBA was on tape delay for the finals, you know, like in 79 or –
Well, it was a year removed where the Miracle on Ice was on tape delay. A lot of tape delay going on.
Yeah, exactly. Like live, like, you know, you basically had three channels, and that was the only bandwidth you had. So, like, getting on that live was not easy, you know? It's very different. Very different.
Very world. Different. LeBron James found himself, I guess, on a live recording of the Mind the Game podcast yesterday at Fanatics Fest. There's all these people around, and he was talking with Tyrese Halliburton, among all these other people that he was involved in panels. Joe did not really talk about where he was going to be in free agency, other than he said it was going to be fun. I mean, there was one point where the crowd was, like, shouting places at it, and he was just repeating them back to him. So they were like, Miami and Philly, and he was like, some guy wants me to play for the Yankees right now. So for some reason, Joe, we're continuing to keep this like a secret. You got Adam Silver in the NBA coming out being like, yeah, I mean, the LeBron thing's kind of affected our schedule release here, so we'll see what that looks like. But I assume at some point here in the not-too-distant future, he's going to make a decision. He did have Pat Riley in Miami yesterday at the Giannis press conference. Was asked about LeBron. It was basically like, yeah, we've landed a plane, talking about Giannis. And we've got another plane to land. So I don't know what that means. So what do you make of all this LeBron thing going on?
Well, there's also – so, you know, there's definitely some Golden State smoke. I mean, I've watched this a few times.
Steve Kerr video?
Yeah. And it's like, is he messing with that person? Or is he actually like, yeah, we got him. Like is he serious? I don't know.
I can't tell.
LeBron claims that the clues are all there. And if he's saying that, then I'm starting to drift toward the Warriors a little bit. Because isn't that the only real thing that, like, again, I haven't been studying this every second of every day. But those are the only, like, the clues early were Golden State, right? And then we've just had all this speculation. Shams and all the betting odds have made it basically clear that it's four, right? It's Heat, Cavs, Sixers, Warriors. And also just the whole thing is, it really is like, I kind of agree with people. I'm generally pro LeBron. I think he's the best player ever. I think, like a lot of people, the decision annoyed me. And I was like, dude, really? You're wearing that shirt and you're having Jim Gray interview really for this? Is that right? Okay. I soured on him a little bit after that. But for the most part, I'm pro LeBron. I will say that people who are complaining about this, who are like, this, like, I saw someone, a host on, like, Fox Sports Radio, was like, this is why some people don't like you, because, you know, you're holding everything up and you're making this huge deal out of it. And, like, dude, you're old. Like, you're good still, but, like, you're not, like, LeBron going to this, whatever team he goes to now, is not LeBron going to your Miami Heat in 2010 when he was clearly the best player in the league. And it's like, oh, my God, they could win the whole thing right away. It's a nice piece. It's a good ad, you know. Okay, nice. Yep, you know, big power forward. He can play make. You know, he can score still. Good all around player. Very good all around player. But he's conducting himself as if he's still the belle of the ball. It's kind of annoying.
It's pretty annoying. Like, this is, and it's also another thing. Like, he clearly knows where he's going. So it's not like he's sitting there just making a decision. He knows where he's going. This is not some, you know, picking four names out of a hat and, you know, drawing them and seeing which one you land on. Like, he knows where he's going. So let's go. Like, I don't know what we're holding up here. And I'm with you. Like, you know, there's a special place in my little heart for LeBron because of what he did in Miami for my basketball team.
Sure.
But it's stuff like this that I'm fully aware why people don't like him. Like, it's... he's pretty annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of why.
It's a little bit of lack of self-awareness, I think, on this one. It's like, okay, like, we've had a while now, right? Like, it's – and apparently it's supposed to happen next week. But, it's we're past extra time now, you know?
Yeah.
Let's put everything in soccer terms. By the way, the third-place game, ESPN did televise it in 80 and 81. So, before that, okay. No. Before that, no. But in 80 and 81, so like in 79, still the most watched game of all time in basketball history and will always be, I think, Michigan State, Indiana State. So that would have been Penn. Michigan State got to beat Penn in the Final Four. Penn and –
big game.
Yeah, I know. I forget who Indiana State beat. Like Penn and Marquette maybe, something like that in 79. Not televised. Two games were televised, then they got rid of it. Jason Manchester says, I'd watch a game between the AFC – conference championship loser and NFC loser rather than the Pro Bowl. Yeah, but again, like you can't do that in football. Can you imagine that game? Like,
no.
Who's playing? You know, like, no. I mean, I suppose if you had a FIFA-like financial bounty for it, I guess you could manufacture that. But
I mean, I've heard even some of the possible best players in England, on England and France, their club leagues,
not gonna play,
gonna reach out and be like, hey, like, I wouldn't be surprised if one or two sat.
Harry, have a seat.
Sit on down, Harry.
Boy, that's
like, good. You know, you're going to really risk the rest of your club league for a meaningless game here?
Like, how much are tickets? The tickets have been insanely expensive. Basically, you have to be rich to go to these games. I mean, like, are you have to, like, this is, like, here's my, like, discretionary income for the next 6 months. So, who is traveling down to Miami, France, and England for this game and filling that stadium?
I don't know. I mean, how long have the third place game tickets been on sale? Like, before you knew the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. There are a lot of people who are like, well, World Cup game, I'll go wherever I can, right? To I guess there's some of that there.
Here, let me answer your question. I'm looking on StubHub right now. You can find some tickets in section 118 together for $2,800 a piece.
Holy crap.
If you want to go to the Upper Bowl, they're about right around $700 a piece. You can get as low as I think the lowest one I'm seeing is $585. That's insane to me.
It's mind-boggling. Like, how do they pull this off?
I don't know. Like, these people must really love their soccer to be that excited about a third place game.
Man, well, good for them. I guess that's why there's $56 million in prize money going to these teams.
I guess that's why. Yeah, I guess. That is a good example of why. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. The schedule is out for the Nashville Predators, and it's an 84-game schedule. Moving up a couple of games this year. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. On our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, the Predators schedule release happened yesterday. We got an 84-game regular season for the first time, so moving up a couple games. Do you have any opinion on that whatsoever, like any strong opinion? Are you totally against 84? Are you happy to see 84? Do you care at all about 84 versus 82?
Yeah, I care. It's stupid. I just hate – I like tradition. We have the tradition of 162, 82, 82, and 16. Now we know the NFL's greedy, grubby little asses are just going to keep – they're going to try to get to 20. But, the 84 is stupid. I mean, you know, the talk in – I mean, certainly more, I guess, about the NBA, but I've heard about the NHL too, is like, You know, it'd be really great is if you hit about 60 games a year. But we know that's not going to happen, right? I mean, it's a business. But no, I do. Yeah, like I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But it's stupid. What about you?
I'm with you. I mean, the thing that makes me the most mad about it is, all right, not that this is some huge deal in hockey when it's 84 versus 82. It's not that different. But I mean, like we evaluate people's seasons in historical context on an 82-game season for the most part. And now we've just got to flip that around to 84. Like, I don't know. If somebody breaks a goals record in a season or whatever it is, and they take all 84 games to do it, people are going to look at it and be like, well, okay. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with 17 games in the NFL when it comes to, like, rushing records and all that. So I don't like that stuff. Like, I like uniformly being able to compare throughout history. Now, I will say, we talk about preseason football being bad all the time. Preseason hockey's awful, and the less that we could do that and the more we can just step right in and get into the regular season, the better off we'll all be.
And we don't have to have that first game doubleheader.
Whew, yeah.
That first preseason game doubleheader. That one, like, at least
we're here all day, folks.
It's brutal.
At least we can skip that one. No one wants to do two games. The players don't. No. The coaches don't. The broadcasters don't.
Let's play two.
So
please, no.
At least we got rid of that.
Yeah. It's a good point. Yeah, of course, I would argue, I would say, yeah, well, you can just get rid of some of that stuff too, right? Can't you? No? But no, the people who are running the businesses are like, no, well, we need gates. We're not cutting down the gates, But yeah, I don't. It's goofy. It's goofy AF, just like the playoff system that never changes.
I mean, I would ask you what stands out about the schedule, but it's the NHL, and you're playing every team every year, so there is that you have to keep on.
Right,
I will say
this.
There is one thing in particular that really does stand out to me, and I love it. I absolutely love it. I wonder what it really means. They've got 18 afternoon games this year. 18. That is, I haven't looked. That has got to be a record, and it's probably a record that's not even, it's just blown by the Predators. And most of them are at home. And the Predators, for the entirety of their existence, Joe, have really loved that. I mean, obviously, when you're in the middle of the week, you got to do night games. But they really love the Saturday night in Smashville stuff. And a lot of these Saturday games are at 4, 5, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 2:30. It's a lot of afternoon matinee home games, which I just absolutely love. That needs to happen more often, and I'm glad it is. But it's certainly a change versus what I've seen before.
Yeah, that is a big number. Like you said, a lot of them on the weekends. You've got also in there, you've got, New Year's Day. New Year's Day, you got Florida coming in. That's kind of fun. They always have something around Thanksgiving. Now, because I feel like, and this year they've got the noon game against Utah. So I feel like – so this year they're away on the Wednesday, but they're home for a noon game Black Friday. That's fun. You got a random – I'm trying to understand why there's a random Wednesday, January 20th against Vancouver at home. But, hey, Wednesday, January 20th, everybody. I don't know why, but come on in. 1 o'clock. That's a weird one.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, you sure? No, I'm with you. I think it's really cool to have day games. And, I'm even looking at like these times are all central, right? Oh, no, they're all local. Okay. I was going to say, wait a minute. Why am I not seeing any late starts? But, yeah, that's because they're all local times on the schedule that I'm looking at. But you get to start right away with the Hines are coming on in here.
Yeah.
John Hines coming on in. October 1.
October 1st. That's the earliest one I can remember. October 1st. Now, I get it. You got 84 games, so you're probably starting a little bit earlier. But October 1st at Bridgestone Arena, I do not remember one starting earlier than that. I mean, obviously that would be in September if you started earlier than that. So it's as early as you can go in the NHL.
Yeah, I can't remember October 1. Yeah, it feels to me like it's generally been around the 10th or so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
9th, 10th,
yeah,
maybe like
something in there.
The 7th, something like that. But, yeah.
So
good stuff there.
Yeah. So That's about all my takes I have on the Preds schedule.
Well, that's NFL, people look forward to it, and I get it to a certain degree in the NHL, like especially if you're going on a road trip and you're wanting to plan that out, that can be fun. But at least in the NFL, it's like, all right, well, we're not playing every team. We know what the opponents are going to be heading into the schedule release, but then you can kind of map it out that way and see how it shakes out. In the NHL, it's like, yeah, you guys are playing everybody, and there's 84 games. It's hard to get overly excited about a schedule release. That's just me. I do think and people pointed this out on our text line / YouTube chat. I do think the Predators had a very good schedule release video, and I guess that's going to start becoming a thing in the NHL now.
Okay.
NFL has led the way on that.
Well, there we go. I haven't seen it. I'll look at it during the break, but good. That's good. That's good to know. And you do look at it and wonder, because we've talked about it so much, you know, the importance of the good start for the Preds. You know, important for Andrew Burnett, but just I think for a lot of people to have a good start and be like, okay, you're in this thing. You're not talking by Thanksgiving about, oh man, what's going to happen? What do they need to do? What changes are going to make? So the only problem with that conversation is like, there's so many games. It's like, how many teams really have a quote unquote, oh wow, there's a really easy first month? Or, I look at this and it's a mix, you know? I mean, you've got some really good teams that you expect to be really good on here. You do have early on, as of November 7th, you've got a lot more home than road games. Now, you go on the long 5-day West Coast swing. You know, Kings, Anaheim, Vegas, San Jose, Minnesota. So, which is, you want to be like in pretty good shape by then, right? And then
you do.
By the time you get done with that road trip, we're coming up on Thanksgiving week, which is kind of one of those, points in a season where you kind of assess things and look at where you are.
I will say I did look at the schedule in the first month, and in October they play Minnesota and Dallas and Montreal and San Jose and Vegas and Colorado and Tampa. And I'm like, geez. All right. I don't know. Like, I don't feel great about the fast start when it comes to the first month of the season, just with some of those teams. Now, look, it's the NHL. Depending on where you catch a team, like, this. I mean, the Predators beat Colorado a couple times last year. So it doesn't mean everything, right, just looking at the schedule. But it is going to be a difficult first month when it comes to just quality of opponent, if they are the teams that we think they're going to be.
That you think they're going to be, yeah. Yeah, there's some challenging ones in there for sure.
615-7. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, hey, Dub, always a point that I think is great to bring up when we get in these discussions on the YouTube chat. He says, I always laugh at these leagues claiming player health is so important than adding more games to the season. Yeah, there is that. College football, man. They're about, they're trying to get these guys these student athletes to play like 18 games. So good stuff.
Yeah. Player safety, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, is there a storyline with Cam Ward heading into this year that is severely under discussed? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, is there a storyline with Cam Ward heading into this year that maybe we have not discussed enough? The Athletic has put together this piece talking about how 21 teams, which I guess I was unaware of heading into this year, 21 NFL teams have changed offensive coordinators. That's a lot. I mean, that seems like a lot of changeover in the NFL. And obviously the Titans are one of those, with Brian Daboll coming in. So a lot of change around the league, and a lot of change early in his career for Cam Ward to deal with when it comes to the coaching front. Now, on the one hand, Joe, you look at it and you say, well, thank God there's a little bit of change for Cam Ward, because Brian Callahan and that entire tenure was a disaster, and getting him away from that sooner, I'd make the argument probably better for Cam Ward at that front. But it does mean that you're having to learn a new system, and certainly in an ideal scenario, as a rookie, you would have gotten a competent coaching staff that you could then grow and build with and learn through the system. That's not the case for Cam Ward. And obviously we're going into the Brian Daboll era here with the Tennessee Titans. Do we feel like that's been under-discussed heading into this year in terms of what this could mean for Ward, particularly early in the year, Joe?
Yeah, this is an interesting – well, I think that this is an interesting little tidbit from Mike Jones, who does a really good job. And you know, Mike's all over the place, all over the league. He's been here a lot, you know, with the Titans. I mean, he – and so when I read something like this, my eyebrow does raise a little bit. But also, I mean, it's not like it's – you know, he's not breaking news here, but he did point out that Ward struggled. I mean, he writes – you know, as we know, Ward, you know, 59.8%, 31st last year. His passer rating of 80.2 was 31st last year. We know the Titans' offense was terrible, et cetera, et cetera. Brian Daboll, I still absolutely believe, is one of the best offseason developments for the Titans. You could make the case it's the best that they got Brian Daboll to be their AC. But
OC.
Did I just say what I say, DC?
You said AC.
I said there, AC?
You did.
Offensive coordinator. I think this Pontus Aberg stuff is messing me up. It is kind of toasty in here. Maybe it's like a subliminal. I need some AC.
Brian Daboll will be in charge of the HVAC system for the Titans. Good to know.
Good Lord. Anyway, Jones writes here that Ward struggled during his introduction to Daboll's offense during the spring practices. He and his new play caller have work to do as soon as training camp kicks off. So the eyebrow raises. You know, I'm like, first of all, like, was there a discussion involved in here where there is some concern expressed? We talked about it, of course, during the spring. We're past it now. We're on now to the quarterback dock, and we're on to like the unbridled optimism that will hit every single preseason camp in this league, in every city.
Yep.
That's what it is. But it's worth remembering the struggles, and then it's like, is it system related at all? Now, I think that Daboll, I think that his system and his coaching, whereas we talk about the offensive line being there as a possible excuse, and again, it might be a legitimate excuse for Cam Ward this year, I think Daboll's the other way around. Like, he, so far, his track record is pretty freaking impressive. And so this should be a big help to Cam Ward. And I'm not saying anything has happened so far as too out of the ordinary, but I do think that maybe that's a little bit of an underrated thing to talk about, which is just the system and that relationship and everything coming together. It's got to be great.
Well, it's got to be great. And, you know, as far as the relationship, like, everybody made such a big deal, and I get it, but everybody made such a big deal about how Daboll clearly loved Cam Ward in the draft process,
yeah,
and the Giants were willing to move up to go get him. And all that's important because I think it shows you that there's a belief in the skill set there that Dable's got in Ward. But, you know, once you get to this point, like, that stuff doesn't really matter that much anymore, does it? Like, it's about whether or not Cam Ward can pick up the system quickly enough, and then ultimately whether or not he's accurate. Like, you know, this piece in The Athletic talking about it, and we've talked about completion percentage and how – in some ways, it's a little bit of a flawed stat. I still look at 59.8%, and I look at what that could mean this year when you talk about the receivers, the depth they've got, especially if Tate lives up to what they think he can be. Like, not only should the completion percentage go up, but I think we talked about it yesterday. Like, you need to see Cam Ward make some plays that change games, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to be as a quarterback, and change games for the Titans in a positive way. And I even thought last year he made some great throws. He made, there's, you know, a couple plays that stand out to me where it's just like, wow. I mean, look at the arm talent, look at the ability to make a throw, to improvise, all those things. Like, there were signs last year that he can end up being a good player. But like, as you step into year two with Daboll, who I agree with you, should be a strength for you if you're Cam Ward. Like, the impacting of games to the positive for your team, like, he's got to start to be kind of the elevator of the football team this year. And can he do that? I don't know. Is that fair for a second-year quarterback? I don't know, but that's what comes with the territory when you're the number one overall pick.
Yeah, no question. And absolutely it matters that Daboll apparently, you know, really wanted him, liked him a lot as a prospect, all that stuff. I think that helps explain why he's here. But also, let's just remember that you pick anybody you want who's been in this league long enough. Coach, quarterback, coach, OC, GM. They're wrong all the time. They're especially during the draft process. I mean, they, you know, like McVay is you know, he's been wrong on quarterbacks, you know, and he's, you know, obviously he went out and traded for a guy he knew was great and had all the skills that he wanted, and it's worked out well for him. But he's been, and we'll see with the latest pick that the Rams made. But like, you can go down the list, and people make mistakes. I mean, obviously Kyle Shanahan is one of the best OCs, play callers, all that stuff. You would think evaluators of offensive talent, and completely botched Trey Lance and got lucky with Brock Purdy. I mean, people are wrong all the time. So, you know, it's they're in this process right now where Dable's, you know, trying to find out if he was right. And you just can't know until you're there day to day. And then, of course, you really can't know until you get to Sundays. But it's just one of those things that as I read, I'm like, yeah, you know, that is, I think we talked a lot about, man, Cam's, you know, missing throws, things like that. What is it? You know, is it just that he's just going to have a few just errant passes every game and you're just going to have to live with that? How much better can it get? And how much of it is just, oh, I thought he's going to be here instead of here. You know, I thought it was this instead of that system-wise. And frankly, you probably prefer it to be more that.
Absolutely.
You know? But also, like Mike writes, like this camp is critical on that front. And I just look, if it doesn't get a lot better this year with Cam Ward, you know, I don't think that's good. I think that's going to be looked at more like a Cam problem than a Brian Daboll problem, right? Based on the track record that he has earned, that he has put together so far.
Well, and you know, it doesn't mean that you better produce this year or else you're, you know, they're drafting another quarterback or anything. But I do think some of the benefit of the doubt that somebody in Cam Ward's position is naturally going to get when everything around him is as bad as it is and the Titans have been as bad as they've been. Like, the last person that's going to get blamed with the season last year is going to be the rookie quarterback at number one overall pick. But as time goes on here and you change out the coaching staff and you bring in somebody who has clearly demonstrated to do a good job in this role at the NFL level, like if he struggles again this year, people are not going to look at it. They're going to be like, well, you got to get that dope Brian Daboll out of there so Cam Ward can finally excel. They're going to look at it and they're going to say, okay, well, why can't Cam Ward hit the open receiver on a more consistent basis? And again, it doesn't mean that the Titans – you know, or drafting somebody else at quarterback next year. But I do think the criticism on Cam Ward, like there was such an easy built-in benefit of the doubt that he got last year with a combination of Brian Callahan and his inadequacy as a head coach. You had Mike McCoy stepping in as an interim coach. Like it was just, you know, things got better when Mike McCoy stand in, but it still weren't good. So I just think some of the benefit of the doubt that's naturally there last year will be gone this year, and frankly, it should be. Like you're number two in the league. Like the expectations need to continue to rise.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's you'll take it 100 times out of 100 the opportunity to work with a guy like this, who again has demonstrated the ability to actually develop quarterbacks and find things that work for them. And I think that's a big part of it. It's not just like developing that particular skill set, but also putting together a plan that emphasizes their strengths, that hides their weaknesses, all that stuff. So you're going to pick that every time, and hopefully it's a great thing for the Titans. But it also it does possibly accelerate the scrutiny on Cam if it doesn't go well.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Have we underrated the lack of system comfort as a Cam Ward storyline heading into this year? We'll take your thoughts on that. Grace Rayner from The Athletic will be with us at 7:30, TD at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Football offseason coverage on 1025 The Game is presented by Tennessee Brew Works and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Robbie and Rex Road here on the program. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Discussing Cam Ward and Brian Daboll heading into the season. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter says, I wonder if they get into training camp and it's clear that Trubisky is the better quarterback with this coaching staff. Will they have the guts to start him and say, maybe Cam's not ready. He needs to sit. That would be a good way for all the coaches, I believe, to get fired if that happens.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you have to make choices up front, right? You have to make choices about who's getting the reps. A single, other than like Cam's a little banged up or he's getting a day off or something, like a single first-team rep for Trubisky is like, what are you doing? You have devoted everything to Cam Ward. Cam Ward is, you have put the future of the franchise in his hands. You have invested the number one overall pick in him. Then you brought in a guy who is one of the esteemed quarterback developers in the league. And you're going to say, Trubisky is a little better. Yeah, get him in there. I mean, it's not worth a discussion. I suppose you could get 10, 11 games in the season and it's just terrible from Cam Ward. And people will be talking about it if that's
the case.
Well,
they were going to be talking about Arch Manning. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Do you have a scenario? Could you possibly have a scenario where the defense is great this year? Cam Ward's terrible and the team's actually in something, but the quarterback's holding back and, all right, give QB2 a run. It would have to be so extreme. It's hard for me to get there. This league does do extremes way more quickly than we anticipate, and it happens over and over again. So you can't be that surprised, but it would have to be extreme.
Well, but the extreme's not happening in training camp.
No, yeah. Good Lord. I mean, there's not even – again, when you say it's clear he's better, Cam Ward is getting the reps with the first-team offense. So Trubisky, even quote-unquote clearly better, is doing so throwing to backups. You know, I mean, yes, sure. They'll do their drills. They're 7-on-7. They'll do all the different drills, and they'll be throwing to everybody. But, you know, when you get into team stuff, Cam gets every first-team rep, and that's how it should be. That's how it has to be.
Throwing two backups, throwing against backups, too. Like, so it's just
– right.
Yeah, I mean, it's – Trubisky knows what the score is. Everybody in the organization knows what the score is. Cam Ward's the starting quarterback. Hey, look, you know, is it impossible that something crazy could happen in the middle of the season? No. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we saw Bryce Young, who was the number one overall pick, get benched in the middle of the season, right? So it's not like it doesn't happen. Now, he's come back since then. I don't know that I would say he's figured it out, but he's played better, right? So we'll see what this year looks like for Bryce Young. But, like, it would have to be, for that scenario to happen here, I mean, Ward would have to be awful. And I mean awful. And to the point where you'd be looking at him and saying, I don't know if he can do it. Like, I don't know that he can figure this out. So, you know, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Like, you mentioned Dable with the, you know, if Ward struggles, then I think some of the blame is going to be diverted away from Dable and right on Ward because of Dable's track record. I also think this. I think if you're Ward, like, there's a lot of challenges that go with this and learning a new system and all those things. After what we saw last year with that coaching staff and everything that went on, like, Cam Ward has to be more excited than anyone about this, right? Like, that Dable is in here and he's actually working with, you know, a competent professional that's got a demonstrated ability and not just a theoretical ability as the, you know, the offensive coordinator of Joe Burrow's Cincinnati Bengals that didn't call plays. And I feel like I'm really ripping Callahan today, and I promise I'm not trying to, but he just makes it easy. Like, Ward has got to be more excited than anybody, than any Titans fan, than Amy Armstrong. Like, Ward's got to be loving playing for Brian Dable heading into this year.
I would think so. I would hope so. Yeah. And he's got.
And I feel like he's got a personality, Joe, that can actually handle being coached by Brian Dable too, which is very important.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. No, for sure. It's a great thing for him. It should be. And that's where, not that Brian Dable's always right or whatever, but it is one of those things too where you're like, okay, you should trust in this dude, right? Like you said, Callahan has been around incredible quarterbacks in his career, which should matter. Like, it's good. It's good to be around. It's good to see it have some role in it. And certainly, even as a non-play caller, I mean, you have a role in, like, Burrow's day-to-day. So, you know, but that is absolutely different than what Dable has done. And in particular, when you think about what Josh Allen was really early in his career, that's where it's just like, And I like how much does Josh Allen's sitting in a room and take some ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers and it's like truth serum. You know, is he gonna give, how much credit is he giving to Dable? How much is he saying, hey, it was all my offseason work to fix my mechanic? I don't know. But yeah. Bottom line is that's on his resume, and then Daniel Jones on his resume. And so if you're Cam, then you should be excited and you should be deferring to a point, right? Like, okay, I gotta, like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Well, and I think too, you know, we've talked about like Cornell Tate, for instance. Like, how great for the franchise would it be if early into this year you looked at him and you said, "Yep, I mean, that's, you could see why he went number four overall and the Titans were excited to take him." Well, I mean, think about what happens if Cam Ward pretty early into the year is playing really good football and you're feeling really good about what you're seeing out there for him. Well, I mean, there's been so much skepticism around this franchise, and it deservedly so. Like, they deserve all of the skepticism that they've received because they've been a horrible, horrible franchise for the last 3 or 4 years. But, like, if Cam Ward steps in there and immediately plays well, well, all of a sudden you're feeling great about him. You're feeling great about Mike Borgonzi, who selected him at that point. You're feeling great about Saleh and Dable stepping in together. And, yeah, maybe in the back of your head you're worried about losing Dable at the end of the year on the offensive coordinator part of this. But it just – I think from a – I don't know, a fan-based morale thing, as stupid as that may sound, like, Titans fans are in desperate need of, like – I think they're so ready and willing to – like, they want to be good so bad that they're willing to latch on to anything, right, and, like, ignore the negative for as much as they can because of how bad it's been. And just think about what a game-changer for the franchise it would be if, like, 6 games in the next year – Ward's just out there balling, and you're like, good grief. I mean, this partnership couldn't have worked out any better early on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Then you'll get into, crap, Dable's leaving. Yep. One thing you'll get into. And I will, like it or not, I will bring up Marcus Mariota's second year, which was excellent with the Tennessee Titans. But still, whatever, great. You know, someone's going to throw cold water and be Debbie Downer. If it'd be great to have, like, good things where you're like, let's calm down, everybody. Let's not get too excited about this. That would be a refreshing change from, maybe next year he can be good. You know, it'd be or this excuse, that excuse. It'd be a nice change. It's well past time for that.
I mean, by the time the calendar flipped to freaking October last year, we were talking about, like, who's going to be the next head coach of the Titans and where they're going to be drafting at.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, it'd be nice to – I remember a time on this show, Joe, where the football games were actually important enough that we basically just talked about those all week.
Right.
It's a long time ago at this point, but that did happen.
Talked about matchups, talked to people who covered the other teams, you know. Yeah, it was just like, I mean, we spent years where they were basically in first place almost the whole time, you know. So you can't blame us. It feels way longer away. Cameron says, is it true he said he was blown away when a defender fake blitz and then dropped out into coverage at the snap? If so, that's concerning. I assume you're referring to the quarterback. Every quarterback gets fooled, man. Like Matthew Stafford this year, whoever you think is the best quarterback in the league, will throw a handful of picks where he can get totally fooled by someone being where they weren't supposed to be, a robber sneaking into the play. Yeah, something he thought he was seeing pre-snap, and then it changed post-snap, and that happens.
I mean, I don't think Jameis has been fooled since the LASIK surgery. I think he's kind of figured it out since then, you know? I don't know that he's ever been deceived since then.
Oh, man. I'm glad you could weave Jameis into this.
Anytime I can. I try to. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. One of Joe Rexroad's close personal friends we're going to rip coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.